It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Still can't get over Todd Bowles pretending to lose his mind, pound the podium in his excitement over the start of the NFL season.
It's exciting!
And it sounds like a laugh track behind him. That's the funny part, is I know those are actual reporters laughing, but it sounds like one of those old comedies that was taped in front of a studio audience, and they have the signs up that tell the listeners or the viewers when to laugh. That's what it sounds like behind Todd Bowles.
It's like you're on the set of Just the 10 of Us.
It's exciting!
But I agree with him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We told you we're talking about, thinking about, musing over, plotting our strategies for week number one. If you have not yet joined us for Survivor Island, well, you are running out of time. I heard from people as recently as, say, 9 hours ago, telling me that they were in, that they've been able to join. So there is still space on the last link. Here, I'm going to retweet it one more time, because once I leave the studio on Friday morning, I am headed to the airport and likely won't be on social for quite a while. And actually, it doesn't matter because you can't use social. Well, we can use it. You can't get any extra intel or glean any insight from social during Friday night's game between the Packers and Eagles, because those people who are there, media members who've made the trip or analysts or even broadcasters, are not allowed to use Twix. And it is the number one social media site that's used during events. It's weird how it's not the most popular social media site. Facebook and Insta are by far more popular than X in terms of number of subscribers. But what is unique about it is that news gets broken a lot on Twix. And that's where people go when they want to break news or they're analyzing, as I say, live events that are unfolding in front of us. And sports broadcasters, sports insiders, analysts, they use Twix far more than any other, again, for the same thing, because it's immediate and you get your news right away and the format and all that jazz. But from Brazil, not allowed to use it. It's been shut down in Brazil. And so I'll be curious to see what other modes of communication people use from the actual game on Friday night. A lot still that's swirling around in my brain about Ravens and Chiefs. If you did not watch the game, I promise you NFL Network is going to replay it for the next, 24 hours. In fact, they're right now in the first half. 8 minutes in, the Chiefs are taking the ball for the first time at home at Arrowhead Stadium. A couple of things that I really liked. I liked the way that the Chiefs honored previous Super Bowl championships and Super Bowl winners with different people, different members of those teams who were out there on the field. So Bobby Bell, he's a Hall of Famer, but he was part of that Super Bowl IV championship. And I interviewed him in, where were we? I think it was Houston when I interviewed him. He was with the Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds people who partner with Gridiron Greats. And it was my first year talking. Actually, it was San Francisco. I take it back. It was my first year talking to the Hall of Famers through Gridiron Greats. And I met him for the first time. And he had been to every single Super Bowl that had ever been played. Now, I don't know if his streak continues. Maybe not, because that was pre-COVID. But that was one of his claims to fame, in addition to being an incredible player and a Hall of Famer. So he was out there on the field. He looks healthy. Now, he looks spry. Then you had the one from a few years ago. I'm trying to think who was part of that one. I know they had Chad Henne out there from 2 years ago. Shoot, who was it that they...
I'm blanking too, yeah.
Yeah, I watched all of it. Oh man, it's going to drive me nuts. Okay, I'll go back and I will... The one from 4 years ago, I forget who it was that was repping the Chiefs. Anyway, they have these other banners that are there on the field before they unveil the one that's up in the top of the stadium, and the Hunt family is there, and Lamar makes a couple of comments. So yeah, it was kind of a neat ceremony. They did have to delay this game. I'm not sure if you noticed that the game kicked off 20 minutes later than what it was supposed to, because they'd had some pretty heavy rainfall and even had to clear the fans out of the stadium because of the threat of thunder and lightning. And so they ended up waiting 20 minutes. So that was kind of interesting. Very first game, game one of 272, when it's delayed 20 minutes by weather, right? What else? What else? Let's go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If this was not the game of the week, what is? And maybe you would have picked this one, but too late. It's already done and the poll is moving forward. Help us choose the After Hours game of the week for this opening weekend. We did include Packers and Eagles. Also Jaguars and Dolphins, Browns and Cowboys, Jets and Niners, and there's some juicy stuff there. And gosh, I could make a case for every single one of the games, so it was kind of hard to narrow it down. It usually is this time of the year when we're just getting started. 855-212-4227. Guys in Pittsburgh, welcome to After Hours.
Okay, now, Amy.
Yes.
I want to ask you this one question.
Okay.
And I want your honest opinion. Now,
well, I don't lie on my show.
Yes, ma'am. Do you think that, would you think that Baltimore, because when they first came out in the first quarter, the first two halves of the quarter, they came out like they was more the Chiefs equal, as far as like we can go toe-to-toe with you. So who do you think on Baltimore's end lost this game between, I don't think it was the quarterback. I don't think it was Lamar. And do you think that they should have used their running back more, even more exclusively? Who do you think that lost this game for Baltimore? Was it their offense or defense? And setting up for the AFC, because, you know, Pittsburgh, my Steelers, got to face them. So what is your take on that? Who do you think that lost this game for Baltimore? Was their offense or defense?
Well, it's a combination of both. There are a few plays by the defense that I'm sure they would like back. For instance, not covering Isaiah Worthy when he gets behind the D and goes 35 yards for a touchdown. I mean, that was a really egregious error. How about the late hit on Patrick Mahomes that kept a drive alive for them? The first throw to Travis Kelce, in which Mahomes is scrambling and trying to extend a play, and Kelce just keeps zigzagging and making cuts and somehow gets the defense on his back, and Mahomes is able to find him for a perfect strike. So there were some breakdowns on the defensive side of the ball. As for the offense, I think the O-line is a real issue. The reason they couldn't run the ball more or didn't run the ball more is because the offensive line wasn't really blocking for Derrick Henry. They weren't able to make some holes for him. They weren't able to keep the D-line at bay. So that's partially on the offensive line. I mean, you could blame every single unit or every single guy out there for something. Lamar misses a wide open Zay Flowers in the back of the end zone with 10 seconds to go, though he says actually he was targeting Rashad Bateman. I read that. I didn't realize that earlier when I was talking about it. He said the ball was intended for Bateman, but it was nowhere near either one of his guys. And Isaiah Likely, his foot being out of bounds. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you could point fingers and place blame. The coaches called two early timeouts in the second half, which meant they really couldn't stop the clock on that last drive unless they were out of bounds. So there's always plenty of things that people can improve on.
Now, may I ask you this real quick? Now, do you think that my Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, because, you know, we got to face Baltimore at least two games out of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this would be a perfect setup where our Steelers could take advantage of at least one of these games against Baltimore coming this season?
Well, the rivalry is always really intense, and it doesn't matter what the records are when these teams step on the field. I think that they're always a very good match because of the physical nature of the game and because there's no love lost between the two. I think it's going to be interesting to see how quickly that Ravens offensive line can get up to speed because we know the defensive line for the Steelers, they're a force. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I have yet to see the Steelers on the field. We don't even know who's going to be starting at quarterback for them on Sunday.
Well, I guess you can make a case of point. As far as like what Russell, you know his name.
I do.
But they ain't getting for nothing, so of course he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Well, no, that's not the issue, Guy. Actually, thank you so much for your phone call. We're going to let you go. The issue is that he's dealing with this calf issue again. I hate to use the word issue so many times, but Mike Tomlin was talking about this on Thursday at practice. Russ missed, 3 days or so earlier in the preseason, 3 days of training camp because of the calf strain, and now apparently it's hobbling him again.
Russ Wilson was a limited participant today. His calf got tight, so we wanted to exercise some precaution. We'll see what tomorrow looks like and kind of go from there. Questions?
Mike, what are any long-term concerns about Russ's calf?
None.
When did he report to Titans?
He was a limited participant.
Same calf as training camp?
Yes.
How much does that impact game planning for Sunday?
It really doesn't at all, to be honest with you.
Does he have to go get it looked at or examined by anybody?
We probably will, just to exercise an abundance of precaution.
Mark, what's your opinion of Justin's readiness? You might have to go to him.
I'm extremely comfortable if that is the case, certainly.
So Russ first injured this calf when he was pushing a sled. This was going back to the beginning of training camp when they were doing conditioning tests. And because of that, Justin Fields took the first team snaps for more than a week. Russ wasn't slow. He wasn't throwing. He was out there with the team for practice, but he wasn't throwing. And then he missed their first preseason game, only had a handful of snaps over the second and third preseason games. But he was feeling good and strong, and people asked him about the calf, and he said it was no big thing. But apparently he reported tightness in that same muscle, that same calf, going back to, I guess, when they were about to start practice on Thursday. And so they held him out to be cautious. And now we're not sure who's going to start coming up with the Steelers' first week. They do have a couple more days, of course, to be ready. But yeah, I mean, that's, even though Tomlin says it's not a concern if Justin Fields has to take over, and the offense is probably similar, but they do have to travel. They have to hit the road. They're in Atlanta. So, yeah, this is a setback, if nothing else. So I hope that they are able to get this worked out by the time they kick off on Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern time, because, yeah, that would kind of put everything into flux and have to start over again. Alan is in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. It was a heartbreaking loss, wasn't it, by a toe, a lousy toe. It's bitter medicine, but sometimes you have to swallow it. I was rooting for Baltimore. They're one of my favorite teams.
Aww.
And the thing I didn't like was the two timeouts that they called on defense in the second half. That puts you very, very squarely behind the eight ball. because it was 2:32 left. They had no timeouts left. They called their last timeout, and it was a batted ball caught by Kansas City quarterback, and that kept the clock running. If he just batted it down, it would have stopped the clock, and they would have had 2:32 left. But let's say, what's the quarterback's name? I'm just having a bit of a brain.
For Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes.
Kansas City. Let's say he completed the pass, and there was no timeouts left, and it's a first down. They just would have had three kneels, and that would have been it. But my point is, you should not be calling timeouts until there is about the 2-minute warning, just before or just after the 2-minute warning. They were squarely behind the eight ball after they called those two timeouts before the third quarter even completed.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they called timeouts early. I think they, according to what I was seeing and hearing, they're out of formation. They weren't, you know, where they were supposed to be. There was some confusion about what the play was, something along those lines. So they felt like they had to use them at the moment. But you're right. You never know, especially in a game like this one, you never know when you might need them in the end. And to only have one, they did use it. You know, they used their last one to stop the clock. But otherwise, and still, though, despite all of that, they were still in position to be able to tie the game in those final seconds. They had a couple of different shots at it, but maybe would have had more shots at it had they not had to either allow the clock to run or have to, you know, work the sidelines to try to get the clock to stop.
And they did very, very well. They started out from their own 13-yard line. They had forever to go, 87 yards to go. With no timeouts left, all the plays had to be left right on the sideline. So you're going to stop the clock by stepping out of bounds,
right? Or move the chains, yeah. Or move the chains.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And
good point.
Henry 13 carries for 46 yards. Jackson 122 yards rushing. If you would have told me that at the beginning of the game, I would have said, "What? Am I hearing you right? You mean the other way around?" My official prediction was that Jackson's not going to have a 100-yard season throughout the whole year, and he's not going to reach 1,000 yards for the fourth time. But now my prediction has changed. Jackson's going to smash the 1,000-yard mark.
He might. I don't think that's what the Ravens want him to do. I mean, they want him to be more balanced. They want the offense to be more balanced, of course. But the issue is that the offensive line right now is a bit of a mess. We saw that early on in this game. And so to have Lamar rush for 122 yards, a lot of that is off script, if you will. Whereas for Derrick Henry, there wasn't enough blocking. So Lamar can create for himself by darting through holes and extending the play. He's still got the ball in his hands. And we know that he's very shifty and obviously fast. Derrick Henry is one of those guys that's supposed to be running downhill, right? Barreling over guys, and you don't want him moving all around because that's taking away from his speed and effectiveness, or his power and effectiveness. So, yeah, different thing for sure, but you're right. They definitely need more of Derrick Henry in their offense. Thanks so much, Alan. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. On Twix, A-Law Radio, our show account is at Amy After Hours, wanting you to vote for the game of the week because we're off and running. It's also on our Facebook page. It's good to talk football, right? It's good to talk about the NFL. One game in, it's already so dramatic. This is the NFL, the best reality show on TV. Good morning to you if you're awake on your Friday. Happy Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Back to throw. They blitz it from the safety spot, and Prescott escapes that, runs to his right, throws on the run to the middle of the field. Lamb at the 50. No one will get anywhere near him. Lamb could crawl in if he wanted to. C.D. Lamb, 92 yards from Dak Prescott for the Dallas touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brad Sham on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. This is one of the teams featured in our Game of the Week poll. The Cowboys and the Browns. This one taking place on the shores of Lake Erie, where Cleveland is telling us that Deshaun Watson will be good to go, even though he's had some stretches during preseason and training camp where he's been limited. They've been extremely cautious with him, trying to bring him back and make sure he's strong and he's got his strength and he's fully healthy. But there have to be some concerns. If you're a member of the Browns fan base, and I know a bunch of you are, you listen to us there on 92.3 The Fan. This is a question mark that I suspect is going to remain until Watson is able to get through a full season. He's not been able to do that since they paid him the money. Now, the first year, he had the suspension to deal with. But it's been a bunch of injuries. A couple of you, in responding to our show question from 24 hours ago, let's put it in this fashion. Is he going to return to the form that we saw when he was with the Houston Texans? Is he still that same quarterback? Can he be that same quarterback? So yeah, even if there's two good games or three good games, well, that's a start. But how about a full season out of him at that position where the Browns overpaid and guaranteed the money to get him? Now, they've got an incredible defense. Can they maintain that high level of play and the energy, the physical pounding that they deliver to their opponents? Love to watch that defense. And certainly they've got talented, skilled players as well. We know what they're capable of, even without a steady quarterback, as they made the playoffs last year, nearly swept the postseason awards. They cleaned up on him for sure.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And they'll get a challenge with the Dallas Cowboys in town for week number one. Now, the questions with Dallas no longer have to do with CeeDee Lamb. Now they have to do with Dak Prescott. And I can imagine just getting on the field will be a relief for him. Whether he gets the contract extension or he doesn't, at least he won't have to answer questions about whether or not a deal's going to get done before they kick off.
I would say that they're working. I don't know if that's necessarily the timeline. I can't say, oh, hell, I've put a timeline on to Todd and Steven if we don't get this done, this or that. But I know they're working.
But they are working toward getting one done.
Yeah, they're working.
I know they're working. All right. Well, that's a shade more positive than what we'd heard from him the last time, which is that he doesn't know if a deal's going to get done. He even mentioned that he wasn't sure he would be with the Dallas Cowboys beyond this season. All right. Does it matter? I mean, I think that's part of the question, too, is extra peace of mind. How does it impact this 2024 season? Is it necessary?
Maybe from a team aspect, yeah. You know, I've always talked about how present I can be, but understanding not everybody is capable of that, to be honest with you, that, yeah, there could definitely be some benefit in that. But at the end of the day, it's a lot that entails in parts and moving parts in the contract, and those guys, I know both sides are working.
I'm actually really excited for the Cowboys to get back on the field and back to work because – I love the Micah Parsons podcast, The Edge. And, it was with Bleacher Report last season. I know he's actually got another job with Bleacher Report. They've given him an pretty high up job in their administration where he's going to help to create content and a big draw. And so I'm excited for Micah Parsons. He said he's content to wait until the time has come for him to get a contract extension. And I can imagine considering he's had a couple of really great seasons. He had a couple of really great seasons. But if you can add one more to that, well, then you're going to make yourself extra money. As for Deshaun Watson, money not a concern, contract not a concern. He's all set there. But what about getting out there on the field and getting back to football?
Just tell you one week at a time. Execute, go out there, score as many points as we possibly can to help this team win. And at the end of the day, have more points than the opponent. And I think that's the biggest thing.
He never really does give you much when he's in front of a microphone. Maybe this is the year for Deshaun and the Browns, because that's been the missing piece. Although, man, it was so much fun to see Joe Flacco last season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just came across this other quote from Dak Prescott. A lot of people asking, of course, what does the future hold for you? And trying to get him to say anything at all that would be clickbait or headline worthy about his future. And he is at times referenced potentially playing somewhere else. But I just saw this quote. I don't think winning it, and he's talking about winning a championship, I don't think winning it any other place would be the same as winning it here. That is a number one in wanting to be here, to be honest with you. All right, so says he's not motivated by money. He can compartmentalize where he can still play even if this contract is not done, though he did say it might make a difference to his teammates in the locker room. But at this point in his career, he's not a spring chicken anymore. He would be going into a second contract extension, a second big deal with the Cowboys, but beyond his rookie deal. And it actually wasn't a huge deal when he was a rookie because he was drafted, what, third round? Dak was a third rounder out of Mississippi State. Anyway, he says that he's motivated by the winning. And athletes who get older, that becomes paramount to them. I don't think winning it any other place would be the same as winning it here. I like that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Mark is listening in South Bend. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, how you doing? It's an honor to get to chime in with you. You were speaking about Bobby Bell at the last segment, being he went to every Super Bowl there ever was and played two. Bobby Bell was one of the most unique individuals as far as an athlete and as far as a common American worker goes. When the season ended, a week after the Super Bowl ended, Super Bowl IV, his job was to go back to the GM assembly plant. He was a foreman there, and he worked there for 7 months when the season ended to when camp started the next previous year in July. He's truly one of the most unique people, not only in football, but really incredible individual.
It's interesting because so many of these players, they didn't make the kind of money that NFL players make now. So many of them had other jobs in the off season, other places of employment where they had to report when the season was done. I think we've lost him. Sounds like one of those victims of the Bluetooth where it kicks in and all of a sudden. So let's see, he would have been on his car's Bluetooth and maybe his car's Bluetooth dropped him. Or the other way around.
That's probably it, the first way.
At A-Law Radio is where you can find us on Twix and also on our Facebook page. What is the After Hours game of the week? We did have a discussion, producer Pete and I, about putting Texans and Colts in the poll. Why? Well, because the Texans have a whole lot of promise, and I think the sky is the limit building off of last year. And they've added pieces like Stephon Diggs. You'll hear from him coming up. So we'll have questions for months, right? We'll even have questions that won't have answers maybe all throughout the season. But it is good to know that after the months of waiting, where we're just spitting out the questions, maybe we can finally begin our search for answers. But it's just so fitting that game one of 272 in this NFL regular season was settled by a toe, half of a shoe size. The fact that the league can joke about a script and yet have finishes like this one, the drama of the back and forth. I mean, you just have to watch one game and remember why it's the cash cow that it is. Remember why it is by far the number one spectator sport in the United States. Even though Roger Goodell would like to farm it out to every other country on the globe. 855-212-4227. Vote for the After Hours game of the week. We're kind of working our way through some of them. More to talk about still, though. And also, just to insert, this is a Football Friday now, and we're getting close to our weekend. I'm sure you'll be not far behind. I'm actually headed to the airport, so don't be jealous. The second I get off the air, I'm going to the airport. I'd rather be asleep. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm going to join family, so I am happy to do it. But, whoo, got to make sure I'm not cranky when I get to the family. Anyway, the weekend is on the horizon. There's a lot of football, college as well. A big game this weekend is Michigan hosting Texas. Now that Texas is in the SEC, this is kind of a really interesting twist. But two of the powers, of course, Michigan being the defending national champion. When it comes to the NFL, we kind of, you know, multiple shows during the week where that's pretty much all we get to. But I don't want to ignore some of the other storylines, like what happened at the U.S. Open on Friday. And also one of America's soccer legends announcing retirement. Oh, speaking of soccer legends, Christian Pulisic was at this game on Thursday night. So apparently he is playing, maybe they are playing in an exhibition nearby. Friendly is what they call it in soccer. So yeah, Pulisic was there. It wasn't just Taylor Swift. There were other celebrities that were on hand because, you know, this is the Chiefs and it's the NFL. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, well, a great opener to kick off the NFL season coming down to a toe. Isaiah Likely ruled out of bounds by a toe on the final play of regulation, allowing the Chiefs to escape the Ravens 27-20. But Baltimore didn't just miss one chance. This was the play prior.
10 seconds remaining. Lamar takes the snap. Steps up in the pocket under pressure. Fires to the end zone. He missed a wide open Zay Flowers. Flowers was wide open in the back of the end zone, and Lamar threw it behind him.
Call courtesy of the Ravens radio network, so the Chiefs able to survive, leaving the Ravens once again feeling like they missed out on a chance against the two-time defending champs.
You're disappointed. You thought, I mean, I don't know what it looked like on the replay, so I can't say, but really couldn't tell on the big screen. You guys probably had a better viewpoint of it.
Ravens head coach John Harbaugh. Patrick Mahomes threw for 291, including a 35-yard touchdown to Xavier Worthy. Rookie also ran one in from 21 yards out. Lamar Jackson threw for 273 with a score, added another 122 on the ground. Well, Derrick Henry had 13 carries, 46 yards, and a touchdown in his Baltimore debut. But it's the Chiefs with a win to kick off the season, trying to become the first team in NFL history with a three-peat. Elsewhere, Russell Wilson, limited participant at Steelers practice due to the same calf injury that's limited him during training camp. And Pittsburgh will continue to monitor it. If Wilson can't go, it would be Justin Fields against the Falcons. As Fields, of course, lost out on the starting job to Wilson in the preseason. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott's still waiting to get his money from the Cowboys, but doesn't seem to think that there's a hard deadline to get it done before the season begins on Sunday.
I would say that they're working. I don't know if that's necessarily the timeline. I can't say, oh, hell, I'll put a timeline on to Todd and Steven if we don't get this done, this or that, but I know they're working.
But they are working toward getting one done.
Yeah, they're working.
Checking baseball, where Patrick Bailey, the walk-off RBI double. Giants upended the Diamondbacks 3-2. Phillies erased the Marlins 5-2. Pirates overwhelmed the Nationals 9-4. Rockies took out the Braves 3-1. Mariners topped the A's 6-4. Twins 4, Rays 3. Rangers knocked off the Angels 3-1. Tigers getting a Parker Meadows grand slam in the ninth. They stunned the Padres 4-3. And Ty France's solo shot lifted the Reds over the Astros 1-0. In U.S. Open, women's final is all set. It'll be Aryna Sabalenka taking on Jessica Pegula on Saturday. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
the shotgun. Shakir in motion right to left. Takes the snap, looking left, now back to the right, into the end zone to Diggs for the touchdown. It's a 17-yard touchdown reception. Can you dig it?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Now that's Stephon Diggs in a Buffalo Bills uniform coming from Josh Allen on the Bills radio network. I wonder if Mark Vandermeer will have his own spin on digging it as Stephon joins the Texans offense. And this was one of the big moves. I don't know, so shocking necessarily, but still jarring to think of Stephon Diggs moving on as quickly after the productive seasons that he had with Josh Allen, how the two of them had a lucrative connection and obviously resulted in a ton of yards as well as a lot of touchdowns. And to have it end, again, I don't want to say it was a huge shock because there'd been rumblings, but to have it end the way that it did, I know that there are probably people on both sides who kind of rue the day and rue the end of this. But if you go back to the numbers that he put up with Josh Allen, and of course he started with the Minnesota Vikings, but with Josh Allen playing almost every game of the four seasons that he was with the Bills, only missing two games the entire time, every single season, he was over 100 receptions. Last year, 107, and he played every week. He had 127. That's the most that he'd ever had in his first season with the Bills. That was the COVID year, 2020. All right, so then looking at his yardage, last year, nearly 1,200 yards. He's had a couple of seasons in which he's been close to 1,500 or over 1,500. And right now he's riding a streak of six straight years with at least 1,000 yards receiving. Along the line in those 6 years, he's not had any of those seasons in which he's averaged fewer than 10 yards per catch. And this is how productive he is. And again, this is going back to the end of his Vikings tenure. Case Keenum was his quarterback, right? With the Minneapolis Miracle. But now he's a Texan. Will he have those same numbers? Will there be that same type of production with CJ Stroud? There have been a lot of people talking about what he brings to the table, his veteran presence, his professionalism, the fact that he's been around now with a third franchise. But he says it's more than that, actually, because CJ Stroud is not just my quarterback. We're family.
As a quarterback, he makes it real easy. Not only is he a hell of a quarterback, obviously you see him at practice, he can throw any ball. But as far as like the mental part, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time at OTAs. He called me up to speed, even me grinding in meetings. And he makes it real light. He said, at the end of the day, do what you got to do. I want to see you get over. Be where you're supposed to be at the right time. You know, I got you.
A little bit hard to hear there, but at the end of the day, you know, I've got you. Do what you need to do. I'll find a way to get open. And, you know, I've got you. He says, CJ is family, not just my quarterback. And talked about it's been a nice road, even though he wasn't with them for a long time. Well, obviously not with them during OTAs, but already have a connection. One word that CJ Stroud used, and I saw this earlier in the week, that their timing has improved drastically. That's the word that CJ used. Man, he's so mature. He comes across so much wiser and more experienced than his years would indicate. And so what does year two? People talk about the sophomore slump, but what does year two have in store for CJ and these Texans and D'Amico Ryans? And yeah, it's a little bit like the Lions a year ago in this regard. People are pointing at the Texans as a team that could take another giant step forward, as a team that could be a Super Bowl contender. Maybe you think that's a little bit too early. It is what it is. Predictions, guesses, whatever. They're based on history, right? Based on hope and possibility, and there's really no way to know. Injuries are always a factor when it comes to an NFL season as well. But to add Stephon Diggs, you think about the pieces that they already had and the rhythm that CJ developed with some of his other receivers like Anico Collins, right? Like Tank Dell on the tight end Dalton Schultz. They've added Joe Mixon as well. Remember Damian Pierce? He'd had a couple of early, his third season, right? Pierce's third season. What we saw from him, I'll check that just to be sure. What we saw from him as a rookie, yes, this will be his third season, was really impressive. When the Texans were bottom of the barrel, and yet he was the bright light. So, yeah, I feel like people are on the Texans, and they're not going to catch anyone off guard or surprise anyone this year, similar to what the expectations were for the Lions in 2023. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What is the After Hours game of the week? At Amy After Hours. I feel like I'm saying it over and over, but that is how you find us on Twix, our show account. We're going to run that poll through Sunday. I did retweet the link for Survivor Island, I think. Oh, no, I didn't, actually. I have to go back and do it again, just in case you're only hearing about it for the first time and you would like to know more. Join us. Last we knew, the link was live. So Survivor Island, let me know if it's working. On the line, my homemade cookies mailed straight to your door if you are the sole survivor. Also on our Facebook page, too, and our phone number, 855-212-4227. I mentioned a couple of other headlines that I want to make sure I inject here before we get back to Chiefs and Ravens at the top of the hour. Congratulations to Jessica Pegula. Of course, you may know that name. In fact, the Bills were celebrating her success. First ever Grand Slam final. She'll be playing for the U.S. Open Championship this weekend. She actually got run over in the first set of her semifinal on Thursday evening, and it was taking place about the same time as the football game. So it's understandable if you didn't see it. She lost 6-1 in the first set against, let's see, Arnia Sabalenka. No, that's who she's playing, actually. I take that back. She was playing Karolina Muchova in the semis, and she actually said it was embarrassing how badly she was losing in the first set, but fought, scratched, clawed, and ended up winning the next two sets. And
that
now
was quite the match.
Oops, sorry. Sorry,
obviously Jess. Happy to be here sitting, saying that I turned it around, but obviously it was looking a little rough there for a while, but somehow I found a way and was actually able to play some really good tennis and keep that momentum, a lot through that third set and close it out. But yeah, I thought in the third, we had some really good tennis, end of the second and the third. But yeah, happy just with the way I was able to compete.
Since the Olympics, Pegula has won 15 of 16 matches. And as I say, breaking through, she's never made a Grand Slam final. She actually played Sabalenka in Cincinnati for the championship. Sabalenka won. That's the only loss that Jess has had since Paris. But this is huge to have an American woman post Serena Williams into the U.S. Open final is awesome. And then we have two American men who will play each other coming up in the men's semis on Friday, and that means either Taylor Fritz or Francis Tiafoe will be in the men's final. So we'll have a pair of Americans on each side, which is awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.